There's more here than when we started. That's good. I'm just going to take this off so that we can, in case I need it. Wow. So good to be here today. I've got a photo I want to put up. That's the first slide, just to get us focused on where we're going today. There it is. I'm here to say greetings from me, and so good to be back. It seems like ages, but it's been a year since I stood here, and it's just wonderful to be back with family, as Julie said. I feel like we are family. We know each other pretty well now, I think. Probably know you guys better than I know a lot of other people. It's like amazing, really. So wonderful to be in the same spirit, same heart together. It's awesome. And this picture that I've put up there is a photo of the mountains in the border area of China and Burma and Laos and Vietnam. And these mountains are very high. And they're so high that these two farmers, these old guys sitting there, are looking down over the clouds. And I've been there several times, not for the last 2 years. Last time I was there was November 2019. And little did I know that after that awesome trip, I wouldn't be going back for quite a while, maybe never. I don't know. It's in the Lord's hands, you know. But I love that picture. It's one of my favourite photos because it shows me that we are seated way above the clouds. We are seated way above all principalities and powers and rulers and authorities and noise and people and stuff that's going on, pressure, COVID, whatever. We're seated in that place in Christ Jesus, and that's where our focus needs to be. So that encourages me so much that we're actually literally seated above all the stuff that's going on. It's awesome, isn't it? So I want to send greetings not just from me but from my friends in China. Times have been tough there too. They've had a lot of lockdowns, a lot of shut borders, but not one of them has been touched by COVID, which is just amazing, isn't it? You know, God is good, isn't he? They've been protected, and they send their love and their thanks to everybody, especially, you know, knowing that you all pray for them and for the financial support, which has helped us to actually support a lot of pastors and leaders and churches in Laos, where most of those churches are being built, also in Burma still, but also in a smaller way in the Vietnam area. That's a very hard area to reach because there's a lot of persecution that comes there. But the work goes on. And my friend who heads all this up has not been with his wife or two children for nearly 2 years. He's been locked out from where they are. So his wife and kids are in Hong Kong because that's where she's from. And the children are at school there, and they're being taught there. But he has not seen them for nearly two years. I think it was Spring Festival 2020, so maybe January, February 2020 that he last saw them. And so I'm giving you an assignment to what I'm doing this to pray for them, because he's planning to go there at the end of this week. He just told me this last night. Now, to go there is not easy from where he is. He has to, first of all, get the all clear with the hospital where he is and get the negative tests and all that. And then when he gets to Hong Kong, he has to go into hotel quarantine for 2 weeks at least at his own expense. And that is at, like, Western prices there. This is not, you know, some little... This is a government-approved hotel. They're usually top dollar, you know, so... And then hopefully he'll be cleared to see his family. But pray for that. But not only that, pray that he will be able to come back again afterwards, because there's never any surety that China will let him back in, even though he lives there. And he's got a lot of ministry that he oversees, a lot of works going on that he's responsible for. So I told him we'd be praying for him, that he would be able to do this trip, see his family, spend time with them as long as he needs to, and then come back safely. And we'll hear that report. And keep praying that we can send the finances too. I just sent some 2 weeks ago, and I just heard yesterday that it dropped into his bank account, or actually her bank account. And it took 2 weeks to get there. So who knows what they do with that, you know. I just have to trust the Lord, because until he shuts that door, I keep going with this. And I really appreciate your support. So, you know, the gospel's still being preached in all those places where we've been and I've told you about before. So many new people are becoming believers. Even yesterday, he sent me a message and said a girl from his hometown became a believer. So there's always someone new coming into the kingdom, either in small groups or large numbers. So God is moving. And nothing can stop the kingdom of God or the word of God. He's awesome, isn't he? So my next slide is a little bit different. This is Melbourne for quite a long time. And you can have a look at that. That's the city centre. It's incredible, isn't it? And today I wanted to share with you some things that I've learnt from lockdown. So we were in lockdown for around 10 months, all up, in the last nearly 2 years. And I don't even live in Melbourne, but I was still in lockdown, even though I live in a country town where really we had not much COVID at all. We were still under those rules. And it's been an interesting time. It's been a strange time for all of us, just as it has for you. We've suddenly realised that the things we thought we could do that seemed so easy, not so easy anymore. Even for me to come here, I had to get a permit to go through Canberra. And they didn't even check it when I got there. Don't tell anyone. I mean, who knows? I came from the most COVID place in Australia and nobody looked at my permit. I did get a permit, but they didn't care. So it's a funny place, funny time. But God is good. So we've had, our freedom's been controlled and contained. Worship is not the same as it used to be. I used to be able to look at your lovely faces. I still love them. I remember them. But, you know, everything is different. But, you know, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, that God's word is not chained. Nothing can chain the word of God. And nothing has shown me that more than being involved in China, where from 1949 onwards, the church has been persecuted. Right back then, when communism first took over and Mao took over that nation, all the pastors were either killed or sent to prison. All of them. Every Bible they could lay their hands on was burnt. All the Christians had to go into hiding. And then about the 70s, things started to open up a little bit and people realised that the church actually hadn't disappeared at all. In fact, it had grown and it continued to grow, and now it's the biggest Christian nation in the world, no matter what they try to do. So God continues to open up those doors. It's awesome. Yeah, praise the Lord. So for me too, every door has been closed in the last 2 years, really. I haven't travelled overseas, of course. Haven't done much interstate travel at all. I'm glad I've been able to come here a couple of times. Very little face-to-face church services in Victoria. We're just starting to open up now. But God has opened up new doors for me that I never expected. He's given me opportunities to share the word of God with a group of people every week who are in a rehab program in the town where I live. And so we've seen many people who have never, ever heard the word of God, learning about the Lord, coming to the Lord, being baptised, filled with the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? God always has a way. Praise the Lord. So, you know, good things are happening. And I've been on Zoom, preaching on Zoom with a church in Melbourne at least once a month, meeting with them whenever I couldn't meet in my own church because it was closed. So God always has a way, and we make a way. And look at you guys, you've made a way to make it possible for people to hear the word of God, to hear the gospel. But, you know, while the world's been distracted by this virus and focused on it, something else has been going on. And the last few months, probably like the middle of the year, a word started to come into my mind, and I decided to look into this word. And the word that I felt the Lord dropped in my heart was the word deconstruction. I don't know if you've heard that word before, deconstruction. And I looked it up, and it actually means to kind of pull something apart, to deconstruct it, to pull it apart back to its original components. And that word is actually used in a lot of different areas that I didn't know about. So I'll show you a picture. Have you ever seen something like that? What do you think that is? Yeah, but what is it? What is it? What would that be? Yeah, there's some ice cream there. Oh, yeah, there's some other things there. That's actually a deconstructed apple pie. So in some restaurants now, if you order apple pie, you will get that on your plate. It looks all right, but I think I like the old-fashioned apple pie, don't you? You know, really. It's amazing. And then I've got another picture, because this word is also used in the art world. Now, this is a painting of what? Who is this? Does anybody know? Charlie Chaplin. Very good. How do you know, though? The hat. And there's a little... The writing at the side says the little tramp. So that could tell you. But, you know, a lot of art is now deconstructed. So you have to actually look for clues in the painting or whatever, the picture, to try and figure out what it is. And this is the thing. It's happening everywhere, I realised when I got that word. And sometimes when things are deconstructed, then they're later they are reconstructed. They're put back together in a different way. Now, this is happening all around the world right now. These last 2 years, we've seen a lot of this going on, whether you realise it or not. Everything is being deconstructed and reconstructed. History is being rewritten in a lot of countries, in the Western world especially. So it's not what we thought we learnt when we were in school. It's absolutely being taught differently now. Our traditional views of the world have been deconstructed. What a family is, what it means to be a male or a female. Everything's being deconstructed. And you know that. You've probably heard that. And everything is being redefined. Even world economies are being reconstructed, deconstructed and reconstructed right now. That's why we're going through what we're going through. It's all part of that. And, you know, governments are being shaken up, aren't they? Pulled apart. Things are different. It's a different world to the one we knew a few years ago, for sure. And, you know, that means there's a lot of shaking going on. But this is actually not new. We're actually living in a time that other people have been through before over the years. Back in the 16th century, we saw the Reformation, where the only church in the world at that time was the Catholic Church, and that was a powerful church, was also a political organisation. Suddenly, it was pulled apart because people discovered something in the Word of God that made them realise, oh, we're actually justified by faith, not by works. And so the Protestant churches began. That was a huge thing back in the day. It was a big shake-up that went on. And then in the 18th century, we had what was called the Enlightenment, where people sort of started to become enlightened and they thought they were waking up to something different to what they'd known before. And up until that time, the church and the Word of God in the Western world had been the centre of everything, the foundation of everything. And suddenly, humanism rose up. Suddenly, man became king. Man became the one that we look to, not God. And suddenly church and state had to be separated. This is only in the 18th century. And reason and science became our source of information and kind of like our authority on things. And that's been continuing on ever since, hasn't it? We're seeing more and more of that. So there have been many things that have shaken up before in this world, as you know. And we've had revolutions. In China, they had the Cultural Revolution, which completely changed that country. We've seen the same thing in Iran, in Russia, in other European countries. There's nothing new under the sun. So what we're seeing is not unusual, but it's definitely an increase of something. It's the birth pains that Jesus, that we read about in the Word, that tell us that he's coming soon, and he warned us about that. Now, all through our lives, and since the beginning of time, the enemy has always tried to deconstruct us and our thinking in three main areas. First area is our origin. Where did I come from? So we see that even in the garden, he questioned Adam and Eve and said, you know, did God really say this? Do you really believe what he means, you know, what he said? And what the enemy has done is questioned that whole thing about God being our creator, our father, that we're his children. And so the theory of evolution was brought in years ago. And it's still only a theory. It's never become a fact. Did you know that? It's taught as a fact, but it's not a fact. It's a theory. But that started to make people question, do I really have a purpose? Or am I just a random, you know, person that turned up because of some experiment that happened and chemicals happened and the Big Bang happened and suddenly life came and that developed into other life and suddenly I became a human being. It's the most strange theory. But people believe it as fact, of course. So our origin, where have I come from? Our identity, why am I here? Have I got a purpose? Or am I just, you know, as I explained, a random person that has no purpose? There's no reason for me to be here. And what am I anyway? Am I a male? Am I a female? Or am I one of 57 genders? What am I? And there's a lot of confusion. People are actually being taught this now. Maybe not here, but in a lot of places. And then the third area is our destiny. Where am I going? What happens when I die? Is that just the end? What was the point of it all? That I even came onto this earth and struggled and lived and tried to survive and have a good life and then I just go to nothingness. Are we all going to just destroy this world through climate change because we're not doing the right thing? Is it just going to burn up? And all these things put so much uncertainty into people's lives and minds. And so this is where things are being deconstructed. These things were never a question years ago. Everybody knew and was taught that we were children of God, created by him, and that we have a future home in heaven with him, that we have a purpose here on earth. But now this is something everybody questions. And there's another area in which I've seen this deconstruction happening, which has been very interesting to me. And I've seen it in people that I know, in Christians that I know, even pastors and leaders that I know personally, but also other people that I've seen interviewed on a YouTube clip or in some other way on a program. And these are people who are Christians who are going through a deconstruction of their faith. Now, that's a really interesting phenomenon that's happening a lot lately. And these are people who are questioning everything they've ever believed and starting to doubt the word of God. Did God really say this? You know? It often starts from my conversations with some of these people because they've come to a point of personal crisis in their lives. Something's happened that they can't come to terms with, either in their own life or in their family, and they try to make the word of God fit their experience instead of believing what God has said. So they usually ask these sort of questions. Does the Bible really mean what it says? Did these things really happen, or is it just like a myth? Is it just a story? Is it just like an allegory, just an illustration, what I'm reading? And then that leads to, is the Bible really God's word? Is God really like this? Is God real? Oh, now you're going down a very slippery slope, aren't you? And I've seen people, personally seen them, and it's very sad to see, deconstructing and pulling their faith apart, brick by brick, piece by piece, until they have nothing much left. And then sometimes they try to reconstruct it into a gospel or a theology or a belief that they can live with, and they create God, recreate God and the word in their own image, which is not what we're supposed to do, obviously. And the only thing that, I mean, that's sad, but the thing that's worse is that they often teach other people the same thing. So there are a lot of people being led astray right now by false teachings, false doctrines that have come from that line of questioning and deconstruction. Now, you know, Jesus actually told us that this was going to happen. This is not a surprise to God. And in Matthew 24, verse 10, and I've got that on the slide there, Jesus said that in the time before he returns, these are very sobering words, at that time, many, many, note that word, will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Pretty sobering, isn't it? Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. It's almost shocking to read those words and really see what he's saying there. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus told us this was going to happen, but there is a promise that if we don't give in to that thinking, if we don't go down that path, we stand firm, we will be saved and the gospel will be preached. It will be preached to the whole world. He said it would, so it will be. Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul also wrote about this very same thing. And he says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So this has been prophesied. This is 2,000 years ago this was written. And this is what's happening today. And we're seeing it happen, aren't we? You probably know people who are going down that path. But you know what? I'm so thankful and you are so blessed that you're in a church where you hear the truth of the Word of God every week. You have a pastor, Julie, who preaches the truth, who preaches the Word of God as it is, doesn't make excuses for it or tries to change it. And you have leaders and other people who are teaching here and helping you that actually don't deviate from the truth. And you're being prepared for the second coming of Jesus because they're preaching the truth. That's awesome. So you will stand firm to the end and you will be saved. So that's fantastic news, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So I just want to talk about one other verse because this is the one that I really want to focus on in 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 because this is what I believe our response needs to be in the day that we're living in. So this is my key scripture, 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, but you, it's Paul writing to Timothy, but I'm saying to you and to me, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist and discharge all the duties of your ministry. That was Paul telling Timothy just before he himself actually died. It was his last letter before he went to be with the Lord, giving him instructions. And the key instruction is keep your head in all situations. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us today. Keep your head. In the New Living Translation, it says, keep a clear mind in every situation. So we have four things that we need to do in this day that we're living in. We need to keep our head. We need to endure hardship, share the good news, and complete our calling. That's all we need to remember. Praise the Lord. So the big question for me always is, how do I keep my head? I come from Victoria, guys. Things are not easy there. We've had a few challenges you might have heard about. Oh my goodness, I've had so many reasons to be upset, so many reasons to get crazy in my head when I see and hear what's going on around me. And these are some of the things the Lord's been showing me personally about how to get through some of the troubles that we're going to face. And there will be more of them, I'm sorry to tell you. But, you know, it's inevitable, isn't it? But we can keep our head. So the first thing we need to do is stay in the peace of God. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And for me, the thing I guard more than anything in my life is peace of mind, peace in my heart. If the enemy tries to steal your peace, he can try to get to you, but he can't steal it because God has given you peace. It's our protection. When we have a peaceful heart and a peaceful mind, even if everything around us is chaotic and crazy and noisy and stupid, when we have peace, we can hear from God and he will give us wisdom. But if we give in to that chaos and then make decisions, we'll make the wrong decisions. And a lot of people are doing that at the moment. People are even moving states, you know, because they're suddenly so upset about what's going on, not realizing that where they're going may not end up being any better than where they've come from. And I'm not saying people shouldn't move. Sometimes we should. But if we do it out of emotion and out of reaction, if we do things because we're upset, we'll make the wrong decision. So I want to start the day in peace. I want to finish the day in peace. Every morning I start with the peace of God. I ask him to fill me with his peace. Guard my heart with his peace. And the other scripture there in Philippians says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's our instruction. That's how it works. That's our victory, you know. And so I can remember John Maxwell, I think it was, said once that success is found in our daily routine. And for me, I have this routine. Most days, this is what I try to do. First, I walk, especially now the weather's getting hotter. I have to get up early and walk around the lake near my house in Bendigo. And that's my exercise, but it's also my opportunity to get my eyes onto God's creation, to look up, to look out, and to just be amazed again at how awesome he is. So I walk, and then I get into the Word when I go home, and then I worship, give thanks to God. There are things I do, try to do every morning before the day begins. And when I've done those three things, you notice they all start with W. I walk, I go into the Word, I worship, and then I work. And I still work part-time, and I still have ministry that I have to work at. So that's my next thing that I do. And then I do another thing, which doesn't really start with W, but I can say it like it does, and I relax. Because it's very important to relax sometimes, guys. Sometimes we're so driven, we're going flat out. I can be like that. There's always something I have to do, something I'm thinking, something comes into my mind that reminds me that I need to do things. But there's time to switch off. Just do something that you find relaxing. And there's different things I do, but, you know, I think it's important to have that balance of those 1, 2, 3, 5 W's, okay? Try to remember them. The other thing that I do to keep my mind is to not fret. And there's a psalm in Psalm 37 that says, don't fret because of those who do evil. Don't be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they'll soon die away. This too will pass, you know. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for those who are evil will be destroyed. Woo-hoo! But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And this word, do not fret, is so important. Because I don't know what you're like, I could easily become very fretful, angry about stuff that's going on. When I hear lies after lies after lies and I see people, you know, being treated unjustly, all sorts of evil going on, I can become upset. And I guess you can too. But don't fret. That's the word of God. That's our instruction. Don't fret. You know, and the word the Lord gave me once actually as I was thinking about it, he said to me, you've got to stop becoming incensed. Do you know what incensed is? It's even more than fret. It's like, don't become irrationally angry about everything because it doesn't change anything. Stop feeling like you have to throw something at the television every time you see a certain politician. You know, don't do it. And I have to actually deal with my heart. I actually had to take myself in hand and control this and say, okay, I refuse to fret anymore because it's not good for my health. It's not good for my blood pressure. It's not good for that peace that I'm wanting to keep in my heart. It doesn't mean I don't speak up. But there are times where you have to pick your battles. There are some things you can change and some things you can't. So when my mum, who died this year, was in lockdown for the last year of her life and I only saw her once during that time, in fact, not even her own husband, my stepdad, who lived around the corner from her, she's interstate, but he lived close to her, couldn't see her for months because of the rules that they had made in Tasmania, this was. I decided to do something about it. I had to speak up. So I actually rang the organisation that ran that nursing home and I went to the top. I went online, I found the board, I found everybody that's there, and I rang somebody right at the top and I had a go at them because I felt I had to, in the name of Jesus, in a nice way, sort of. And I said, this is ridiculous. My mum needs to see her own husband. She has no visitors. She is lonely. She is depressed. She's deteriorating. And you know what? They let him come to see her. So we can change some things. I had to change that. I felt the Lord showed me to do that. But you can't fight every battle. There are some things we've just got to let go. And the thing that we've got to remember is that when we see all this evil and all this stuff, we've got to remember that God will sort it out. And I think you've done parables in your messages. And the parable of the weeds is so great because in that parable, God says, you know, the wheat and the weeds will grow up together. They'll be there next to you. You're a wheat. Is that a word? You're a wheat. and there's a weed right there, you know. But you can't pluck up the weeds, because if you do, you'll damage the wheat. And that's a warning for us, because sometimes when we start to fix things and try to change things, we do more harm than good. It's very important that we know what God is telling us to do. And I've seen people damaged. You know, a lot of believers that I know have become damaged because they've just been fighting battles all the time, especially in Melbourne. Just fighting online, fighting on Facebook, fighting, you know, everywhere. It's been terrible, and it's actually taken them away from the Lord in a way. They still believe in him, but they haven't spent time with him. They're not back in fellowship because they've become incensed, and they've just tried too hard to pluck up the weeds, and their own wheat in their own life is being damaged. But God will deal with it. A day is coming when everything will be sorted out, and he will do it. He said he will do it. He will destroy wickedness. He will destroy evil. Everything that needs to be judged will be judged. So just hang in there. It's not over. In John 16, Jesus said in verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I love that. It's so awesome, isn't it? You know, he has overcome the world. And because we know all this, this is still all about keeping your head. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk that long about the other 3 points. But we have to get this thing together in our minds first. If we haven't got the peace of God, we won't be able to endure hardship. That's what the Lord is showing me. You know, how can I endure hardship when I'm so angry about what's happening now? Imagine if things got worse. How am I going to cope? And I learned so much from my friends in China who are being persecuted all the time and still managed to stay nice, still managed to speak to people in the Communist Party and lead them to the Lord. I mean, how is that? I mean, that's incredible. God is moving through these believers that are under real persecution. What I'm going through is not persecution. It's very inconvenient and extremely annoying, but it's not persecution to the extent that they go through. But, you know, Paul also talked about that, and in Romans 12 he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think this is a key for us. Earlier on in that passage he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my brothers, but leave room for God's wrath. Yay. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. You know, Jesus also spoke a lot about how to treat our enemies. He said things that were even more challenging than this. He said, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who are persecuting you. He said, pray for them. If they ask you for a loan, lend to them and don't expect to get it back. It's hard enough to do that with your friends, let alone your enemies. You know, feed your enemies. Look after them. Do you know that's why we're asked to do this? Because this is powerful. This is power in the name of Jesus. His love and his grace and his mercy is more powerful than wickedness, than evil, or any other thing in this world. It's so powerful. And if we can do that, if we can not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, we will be victorious in persecution. And we will become light in a dark world. Because, you know, we're living in a time where we are needed more than anything, more than ever. And people are going to turn to us for help. Practical help, physical help, spiritual help in the darkness. I'm already seeing that. So many people coming across my path where I'm able to encourage them and help them. And that's what we're here for. This is going to be our greatest hour actually coming. Did you know that? The greatest end time harvest that we've ever seen is going to come in before Jesus returns through us. If we don't become bitter, fretful, you know, if we don't become deconstructed and crazy, but we stand firm and we keep blessing those who curse us. And Jesus has promised that when we do that, we will be doing the work of an evangelist. Because, you know, remember it says in, I think it's in Ephesians, I didn't look up the scripture, you know, when we do good works, They will give thanks to our Father in heaven. They'll see him through us. People who don't know the Lord will see Jesus in us when we do good, even to those that hate us. So it's a powerful thing, and I have seen people do that, you know, in, especially overseas, just blessing people no matter what they've come from, no matter what they are, no matter who they are. So we keep blessing and we keep preaching the gospel, doing the work of an evangelist. That's the fourth thing. So we keep our head in all situations, keep it together, get a grip, right? Talking to myself. You know, endure hardship. It's been promised. We're not going to avoid it. All who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, Jesus said that. It's going to happen. But we keep our head, we endure hardship, we do the work of an evangelist, and then we discharge all the duties of our ministry. Do the things that you've always been called to do. And we've got to remember God's promises. What has he told you? What is the calling he has on your life? Remember the prophetic words he's given you. Just because all this stuff is going on around us doesn't mean that those words are no longer true. They're just as true now as they ever were. So we need to continue to obey whatever God has put on our hearts to do. Keep following Jesus. Endure to the end. We are going to be the salt and the light in the world that they need. And I'm so happy about that, you know. I believe we're coming into some amazing times this next year. I remember at the end of 2020, I thought, oh, I'm glad that year's over. It can only get better now, can't it? Well, it actually didn't get better. It actually got worse, you know. But it depends what you call worse. In some ways, for me, it's been a better year. I've had more opportunities to preach, more opportunities to share, maybe not in the way I was used to, more opportunities to lead people to the Lord and to encourage people than I had before. So God is not limited by circumstances, you know. But what about 2022? So just recently, I was sharing this with Julie yesterday, I think. I heard a message by Jerry Savelle, who you might have heard of. I won't explain who he is. Most of you would have heard of him. He's got a great ministry. He's in his 80s nearly. And he had a word. Yeah, I think he's 79. I won't give him 80 yet, but nearly. Yeah, so he every October he prays and spends time with the Lord, asking the Lord for a word for the following year. And he spoke recently on a message that I heard about this year when he spent that time with the Lord in October. And he said that every time he closed his eyes to pray, he saw a hand coming down from heaven. And he knew it was God's hand, an open hand. And then he felt the Lord say, in 2022, we will see God's hand of supernatural, extraordinary and unusual provision during a time of increasing chaos. So there's two sides to this, you know. But what a great promise that God will continue to provide, pour out blessing on us, continue to give us everything that we need. He will take care of us so that we can be a blessing to others. Even though the chaos may not go away, it may increase. We may see even stranger things than we've seen before. But don't be perturbed. Let's keep the end in mind. You know, keep the goal in mind of where we're heading with this. And the final scripture I want to share with this is in Luke 21, where Jesus says, then, after all these things that we're going through right now, we will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when we see all these things begin to happen that are happening now, stand up and look up, for your salvation is near. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. And I just want to say to everybody here, are you ready for that day when he comes? Could be sooner than you think. Could be closer now than we imagine. So I'm going to just pray and then I'll hand back to Julie, and there may be an opportunity for people to have prayer if they'd like it. But my main question as I pray now is, if you have not opened your heart to the Lord or decided to follow him, it's important to do it soon, because Jesus is very close. And then when he comes, the opportunity is actually gone, okay? Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today is the day to open our hearts to the Lord and choose to follow him. And if you've gone away from the Lord, you used to follow him, and maybe now you're kind of lukewarm and you're not so passionate, open your heart today and come back to him. And he will get you through to the end of your life until he returns. So, Lord, we just open our hearts to you right now. We open our hands, Lord, as a kind of a symbol of our open heart. And we say, Lord, we just surrender our lives to you. We choose to look up, not look down. We choose to sit in that heavenly place with you above the clouds. And we put our full trust in you today, Lord. We surrender every part of our lives to you. We thank you for your word and every promise you've given us. You've promised us the victory. You've promised that you're going to get us through to the very end in victory if we stand firm and we don't look away from you. So, Lord, we just surrender to you. We thank you for your blessing on us. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your peace today, Lord. I just speak peace over every person in this room, over every mind, every thought, over every heart, every emotion. We command peace, be still, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive that peace right now. Father, I pray for your blessing on this church, the light in this area, in this town and in this region. Lord, for Southern Life Church, that this church will continue to shine brightly and become an even greater light, that many people will be drawn to this light and come to know you. Put your blessing, Lord, increasingly on every person here, especially on Julie and Graham and the leaders. Lord, let there be blessing and peace and grace in this church, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.